The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Enjoy ultra-fast speeds up to 10 times faster than Sky's standard broadband.
Guten Morgen. Good morning and welcome to the Ryan Tuberty Show. I'm Baza Shmawi. I'm filling in for Ryan this week because he's away. But he will be back very soon, so don't fret. Only another few days and he'll be pouring his bubbly, tuberty, syrupy radio gold back down your ear hole before you can say we've got one free for everyone in the audience. So don't panic, okay? I have to say, you've all been very nice to me, sending me very sweet texts and kind messages, which are greatly appreciated because, well, I'm very susceptible to flattery, to be honest with you. I hope you'll all keep me company this morning and stay with me for the rest of the week. I'd love to know what you're up to today. You can, of course, text me at 51551 or email us here at ryan@rt.ie. So, I suppose in my quick personal daily update, nothing's changed. I'm still living in my old bedroom in my mum's house while my family recovers from COVID. But tomorrow, I get to go home. Because they get the all clear and the happy days, you know. But I have to just tell you quick, I had such a laugh last night. I want to share this with you. A good friend of mine, I've got to make up a... Let's call him Brian, okay? Brian came to see me last night at my mum's. And the man was at a breaking point. Like in an upset, angry, ranting, ragey kind of panic. And I won't lie, his erupting volcanic levels of stress and misfortune, well, it brought me great joy. I know that sounds awful, but it did. It was very entertaining for me. I laughed a lot. And I'm sorry, I'm a bad friend. I'm also 6'3" man sleeping in a princess bed for a 9-year-old in my mum's house. So I need any ups I can get at the moment. What did the Germans call it, Jack? What's it called? Schadenfreude. Is that it? When you get pleasure from the demise of others. Yeah, well, I got that. Bad, right? It was so funny to me because Brian was taking it so seriously. Let me explain. He has two young sons, right? I think they're 8 and 6. And they're destroying his house. Really, they broke his brand new 80-inch TV. 80-inch TV? That's way too big, right? Like, that's massive. Like, if you're going to have an 80, maybe in a home cinema or something, but that's a big TV. Anyway, they broke that. They broke a window, like a kind of porch stained glass kind of window. You know, one of that. And my personal favourite, wait for it. They spilt a bucket of water and mud on the carpet and then hoovered it up with his wife's Miele Hoover, I think it was. I don't know much about Hoovers, but seemingly it's a very good one, or was. It is now garbage. And then, as parents do, they kind of, his wife turned on him, who his wife, I must say, is pregnant, right? And she turned on him and started blaming him for not fathering the boys right. So I think he's basically guilty by gender association. I think that's kind of what she's going with. Anyway, he's very stressed because, well, he's still working from home. His wife is very pregnant. And by the sounds of it, the boys just need some petrol and matches and they're pretty much ready to invade Poland. So last night he was saying to me with kind of in this stressed way that he wished he'd had little girls and not little boys, right? And I just had to go, whoa, 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 look. Girls are amazing, right? They're so aware. They have, even from a very young age, a kind of amazing intelligence. They have a deep maturity and a kind of complicated and somewhat sophisticated thought process. And boys are like dogs with hands. You know, you don't see a little girl clean the kitchen table with a slice of ham and eat it, do you? That's not something they do, you know? You go to any home in the world, there's no parents sitting by the toilet waiting for their daughter Izzy to pass marbles she ate. You know, that's not happening. No, girls aren't stupid. They're not going to swallow balls of glass. This is true. When our Harry was little, he stuck his finger in a lamp. Right. And he obviously got a shock and he was crying. And I said, Harry, what are you doing? And he said, I wanted to see if I'd light up. And I was like, oh, my God. Right. Listen, Harry, like you can't do it. It's so dangerous. He said, yeah, OK. He did that twice more. The same thing. Like It's just boys are missing something, you know, but he did it because his sister told him to. Girls have military minds. They want to gather information and talk about every single thing they know and a lot of things they don't know about to everyone. They like to gather intel. What do you have for lunch? Do you have a PlayStation or Xbox? Where do you go on holiday? What's your favourite colour? What's your dad do for a living? What's your mum do? How many grannies have you? Yeah. And all the time, there's some little fella like Harry just sitting there with, I don't know, a screw stuck in his nose going, in the answer seven? They're just missing something. Little boys do stupid things, but they're not boring. I'm not saying, like, I have little girls. I'm sorry. I know it's generalizing. I love my daughters, but when they're little, again, I love them. But from my experience, I love them. They can have a tendency to go on a bit. Like the school pickups with my daughter is like having a tooth removed with a spoon, having to sit through the long, painfully monotonous yarns at the end of every day, you know? They just chat a lot, you know? Like, listen, girl, boy, whatever, it doesn't matter. You can't win. One's not better than the other. So embrace these times because they're the best fun. You just have to not take it too seriously. Or buy anything for your house that's valuable until they're at least maybe 14, I think, you know. I think parenting is kind of difficult enough, and it's only made more difficult by comparing yourself to other parents and trying to live up to what's not achievable. You don't do that. Don't compare yourself. Try your best. There's a point you come to when you grow up. I think you realize your parents, a lot of the time, were just lying to you, weren't they? They don't know everything, and I'll save you the wait. You're not going to know everything either. For me and my kids, I try to be honest. I try to be calm and patient. And as they get older and have transparency, I try to have good communication with them. I try my best. And if that fails, yeah, well, then I'll probably lie to them, I think. Listen, to make Brian feel better, I'd love to know what parenting nightmares you've had when your kids were little, or even what lies you've told your kids. That'd be good. You could text me in on 51551 or email me at rt.ie. What have we got? Let's have a look in the papers. Ah, yes. Okay, this is in the Mail. Police investigating the online racial abuse of England players after the Euro 2020 final against Italy have made 11 arrests so far. Proper order, really, like, unbelievable. Rashford, Sancho and Saka were abused after they missed penalties in the shootout defeat at Wembley last month. The UK Football Policing Unit said it's had more than 600 reports from across the country and 207 were criminal in nature, with 34 accounts being in the UK. The unit has made data requests to social media firms to progress, and where they've been responses, the information has been passed on to local police forces. Do you know what it is? I think in a couple of years, we'll look back, like 50 years from now, people will look back and go, what was going on back then with social media? Like, it's, you can't abuse with no consequence. Like, we're still in the Wild West area of social media. You have to stamp it out. You just have to. Officers arrested 11 people on suspicion of a number of offences, including malicious communications and breaching the Communications Act of 2003. Chief Constable Mark Roberts said, there are people out there who believe they can hide behind a social media profile and get away with posting disgusting comments. They need to think again. We have investigations proactively seeking out abusive comments in connection to the match, and if they meet a criminal threshold, those posting them will be arrested. You kind of makes you think those, like these companies, I know they're probably all the one company, but the social media companies, the Facebooks, the Instagram, they need to step it up. Like, you need to vet this in some way. A vast amount of work has gone into identifying these 11 individuals. I would like to thank Facebook, Instagram and Twitter for responding to our requests promptly. Okay, so they are doing stuff about it. So look, God, start as you mean to continue. Listen, hate breeds hate. We all know that. What's next? Jennifer Aniston. Okay. Jennifer Aniston, version of comfort food is very different to ours, as she eats only a single crisp when she's stressed out. Stop. That's nonsense. Like, we're Irish people, right? So we have an affiliation to potatoes that no one will ever understand. I had a friend, actually, from England, and he was going, you love potatoes, don't you? And I was like, no, that's racist. You can't say that. And he goes, do you not have a theme park after a potato? And I was like, no, it's a crisp, technically. But yeah, we do have a weird... Eating one... That's not healthy. That's just not healthy. The former Friendstar 52 has revealed that she can limit herself to eating one measly crisp and not the whole packet like most of us would. I have a friend, and I tell you, she eats like half a packet of crisps and then she stores them away in her little bag like a squirrel, right? And she puts them there and she stores them for later. Like, honestly, it's just like that annoys me. I can't bear it. But someone sucking on one crisp is the saddest visual you will ever see of this generation. Honestly, that's just a terrible... Jennifer, if she doesn't have a crisp, she'll have a single M&M. Do I have to read the rest of this? She'll have a single M&M. And again, is able to resist wolfing down the whole lot. Right, I did a show on bodybuilding, right, which is an amazing kind of sport. But when the guys are carb depleting, they just don't eat any carbs. And the bodybuilder I was with, what he used to do is he would get up in the middle of the night and chew bread, right, and then just spit it into the bin just to give himself that. It's not healthy mentally. Like, everything in moderation, even moderation, right? It's okay to have a pack of crisps and a pack of M&Ms. That's all right. You should see what I do to four packets of Doritos on a Friday night. Honestly, like, just balance, you know? God, get the woman a spice bag. Her head would explode, you know? My comfort food, I'd love to know what your comfort food is. My comfort food is quite sick. One is a crisp sandwich, which I think is fairly standard. A roast potato sandwich, or carbicide, as I like to call it. Like, that for me is very satisfying. And also, just so you know, I don't trust women who don't eat chocolate. I'll just put that out there now, just so you know. I think we'll have a song. Let's have a song. Annam, Count to Ten. Good morning. Welcome back to the Ryan Tubridy Show. I'm Baz Eshmay. I'm filling in for Ryan. You can text us in at 51551 or you can email ryan@rte.ie. We got some texts in. Baz, come on. The 80-inch telly is his and the Hoover is his wife's. There's a knock at the door. The 1950s are looking for you. Okay, maybe. Yeah, but I'm just saying what he said, right? I'm just quoting him. I'll inform him, though. I will inform him. You're not wrong. My nearly 10-year-old girl put two of my wedding rings in the cracks between the floorboard yesterday. It's usually notes, isn't it? It's usually cash or credit cards. But anyway, fortunately, they didn't fall in. Well, that's all right. You're doing okay. So, Baz, you crack me up. So funny. Think I must have had a male gene. I've done pretty much all the boy stuff and I'm female. Listen, I've seen it all. I've seen it all with kids. I'm kind of joking. You can't generalize children. They're all so different. Like, some are. I've one guy and he says nothing. Like, women are going to love him. He's like either the deepest thinker in the world or there's just nothing going on. I don't know. But yeah, all kids are different, to be honest. My granddaughter, who is 12 months old, is worse than a boy. She throws all her food from the high chair, gets out of her chair and eats all the food from the floor. She loves it. From County Leash. I'm a bit prone to that myself, to be quite honest. I don't mind that. Are you right in the head? 14, that's when the real fun starts. Oh, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Firstly, they're bigger and stronger, thus more lethal. Then maybe stealing the few cans, having the before the party starts. Enjoy them now. They don't improve with age. I was saying this to one of my teenagers one day. I said to them, do you know what? You've ruined it. You see your little sister there? Like, what is she? She's six. You've ruined it. It's like you've told me the end of a story, you know? It's like it's spoiling the end of a movie. Like, she's a sweet little empty vessel of love at the moment and someday she's going to turn into you. So you've kind of ruined the whole experience for me. But that being said, they come back around. Once they get to a certain age, they start being nice again. It's The circle of parenting that just never ends. Good luck in the cup. Baz, breath of fresh air on radio, speaking from experience of two boys, now late teens, clear your house of valuables. Anything you care about, lock away and don't worry about how your house looks. And he can look back and laugh and actually miss the bedlam when they grow up. And that would be late teenage. Yeah. Listen, just go with it. Just go with it. Like, you have to, like, you can't be precious. And you want your kids to be kids as well. You know, like, I was away in Spain and I was staying in someone's villa. I went to visit them and the kids weren't allowed to touch anything. It was this beautiful big space and they weren't allowed to do anything. And I was just like, what's the point? What's the point of that? Just let them be kids and don't take it too seriously. Really don't take it too seriously. I think we'll have a break. Yeah. Oh, welcome back. Coming up to 25 past nine. Text here. We bought two small black rabbits for our children, then aged between 1 and 9 years. Sadly, one of the bunnies passed away during the first night. During the first night? God, that's awful. My husband found him and called me while I was in work to break the news. Obviously, we wanted to protect our children from having the experience, the sudden death of one of their new bunnies. Sorry. So my husband went straight to a different pet store and purchased a new rabbit, which would resemble the dead bunny, which turned out to be a rather large white rabbit with black ears. I've told this story before, right? But years ago, I got one of our guys. I got him a Euromastix lizard, okay, which is a lizard that doesn't eat insects because Tanya just wouldn't have it, right? And we got the lizard, and then the boys were going off to their dad's for the weekend, and I was left. And so you're supposed to put a sheet over the terrarium, okay? You're supposed to put a sheet over the terrarium to calm the new lizard, who we called Spike. And Tanya refused to give me a sheet, one of her good sheets. So I put a towel over the terrarium. And by putting the towel over the terrarium, I caused this sauna-like effect where basically Spike blew up into this very big bubble. And it was very frightening. So I was on the phone to, I think it was Reptile Haven or wherever I bought them, Spike, and they were talking me through it. It was very stressful. And all the time I had Tanya breathing down my ear going, he doesn't look good. And I was like, oh, look, just, and the guy said to me, he went, I pour some water on him. So I poured a little bit of water on him. And then he went, just press your finger down on his chest. And I was like, okay. And he was like, blow into his mouth. And I was like, are you taking the... So basically, I was leaning over a bidet, giving CPR to a lizard. Anyway, long story short, he didn't make it, and it was awful. And I thought, you know, it would be a good example to a young boy to explain just about life and death and all that. And then after an hour sitting on the bathroom floor, I decided to go back and get another lizard and replace it. And the lie continues. Welcome to Parenting.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back to the Ryan Tuberty Show. Ryan's away at the moment, so I'm Baz Eshmay. I'm filling in for Ryan. Some of the texts coming in. My son asked our neighbour's son to throw a huge stone across the hedge into our yard. It didn't end well several stitches later. That was about 8 years ago, and we still laugh at it. He hasn't told anyone to throw a stone over a hedge since. I'm sure he hasn't, you know. Hi, Baz. Did you hear the saying, boys wreck your house, girls wreck your head? I did. I live it. One of the funniest times we talk about with our son is the time when we were in Florida and visited Disney World. We stopped for lunch and another family came and sat beside us. One member of this American family was sitting in a wheelchair. When they finished their lunch, this person got up from the wheelchair and walked towards the bathrooms. Our son's mouth suddenly dropped and I asked, was he okay? He was. He said with a genuine smile and wonderment, "Da, I've just seen a miracle. And yes, this place really is magical." I replied, "What did you see?" He explained. seeing this American person getting up out of the wheelchair and walk, we knew that the use of the wheelchair was to assist the person in the park. However, his fascination and true wonderment left us feeling, should we tell him the truth or leave him to enjoy the experience? For months after this and at every possible occasion, he would recall the experience and insist he saw a miracle. That is very sweet. Really, that is very, very sweet. Just a few things our toddler's son did. Put our goldfish in the toaster. You can't do that. You've got to police these little people. You can't do that. Use the floorboards as a money box. Man, that's familiar. Fill drains with small stones. Put money, toast and books in the goldfish tank. God, the goldfish got an awful run of it, didn't they? Usually it's the dog or the cat or someone. This goldfish, I just, yeah. Covered himself head to toe in Sudocrem. I'd be quite prone to that one now. A bit of Sudocrem, not a problem. Yeah, welcome back to the Ryan Tubridy Show. I was just thinking about a test there. I think most of us believe our childhood is this kind of important part of who we are, right? It's this huge part of our identity, and somewhere inside we want to feel connected maybe to that period in our lives. Our childhood homes are, I don't know, they're almost always the place where we, as children, spent the largest part of our time, isn't it? As well as being the place, I don't know, where I grew up physically, where I matured. It's where I had the majority of my emotional experiences. My grandmother died there, my dad leaving. It's where my mother and I made a pact with each other. It's where I was nurtured and nursed and helped. And more than anything, I think it's where I healed until time came for me to leave. And it's funny because I'm in my old home at the moment, and all I feel is just love and great memories. Even though all that kind of stuff happened at home, that childhood house that I grew up in, it's kind of a template of what I consider, even though I live in a very different house, it's the kind of the template of what I remember as a happy home. My God, I might ring my mum straight after the show, even though I'll see her anyway.